finishing by the time. Chapter 1, chapter 3. Text number.
In the millennium of the Rishis, the personality of God had accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarsi Narada, who was a great sage among the demigods. He collected expositions of the Vedas, which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. Shri Chaitanya Mahanavishtam Shapitam Jena Bhutale Dayam Upakaramaya Radati Sa Parantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Raitikaradha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is what makes it easier for the Brahmacharya sannyasis. It can make it easier, of course, not necessarily, of course. Like Anita mentions that if one is cheating, then, you know, better to be, you know, in the name of spiritual life, in the name of celibacy, of Brahmacharya, then better to be honest, sweeping the street. But if one is sincerely trying to follow the principle of Brahmacharya, then it's easier to come to this point of Vaishkarma, or not thinking anything is mine. For the Grihastha, they have to think like that. They have to, because they're concerned about their family, rightly so. They have responsibility for their wife and children, and so they have to keep some balance for that. Just like I remember the Lord, he was coming in the beginning. I'm moving, I get to know him after he... Anyway, he was a businessman making good money, had wife and three children. But during Prabhupada's time, he was also doing business, and he remembers, he told me he had a dream that would sometimes come, not only once, but more than once. And in the dream, he was coming in front of Prabhupada, and he had his checkbook. He was writing from his bank account that he was going to give a donation to Prabhupada. So he was always thinking, you know, how much should I give? He couldn't give everything because he had responsibilities in the world. And he said, but others were coming, giving, you know, $1, 50 cents, even 10 cents. But because that was all they had, they were free. And they had come to the point of, at least temporarily, to the point of Nishkana. Everything we had, we were giving to Prabhupada, Prabhupada's mission. And so, it was, you could experience, so this is a freedom here. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about anything, except just to do everything for the pleasure of Prabhupada, and then it'll be taken care of. Of course, generally, that kind of consciousness is hard to maintain unless one is very steady. And so, because the mind is somewhat agitated, therefore, the Grihastha Ashram is a concession for those who can't control their senses. Papa wrote those same words to me in a letter in 1970. The devotees there wanted to get remarried. But Papa saved me by writing a letter saying, no, there should be no canvassing for the Brahmacharis to get married. The Grihastha life is a concession for those who can't control their sex life. If you're able to control one, there's no need. But because this is Kali Yuga, we're all coming from a disturbed background. And so the mind, it becomes agitated just to give everything to the spiritual master. And even in the Vedic system, the system is that one will go to become Brahmacharya Gurukul for some time, but then afterwards he can go again into a Grihastha life. So nobody is cursing if you're not able to remain Brahmacharya for your whole life. But that also is recommended that, all right, if you're not able to be Brahmacharya, you want to get married, then you should make the deity in the center of your house. just like Vasal's coming us, you know, we should be more careful about it. Because he's learned from his experience, so many years as a Grihastha, that this is the kind of thing that this is recommended, especially for Grihasthas, to keep the deity very nicely and to offer everything like Bhakti Vinod's house, you know, the story of the house. Bhakti Siddhanta apparently took a mango which wasn't properly offered, and he was chastised, and he took a vow never to eat mango again his whole life. And even when he was 60 years old, people would bring him mango. He said, no, I'm an offender. I cannot take. So that was like you know, 50 years later, he was still remembering that. So why was that? Because Bhaktivinoda was very strict in his household life about keeping the deity in the center. So this is the, you can say, one way of remaining, or you can say, what's the word I'm looking for? Counteracting the tendency to become a fruitive worker. When we go and come out of the temple, we go into Grihadasram, and then the danger is that the poison can come. What is that poison? The same thing that affects the poison of all the other materials. That this is mine, and I'm the center. Everything belongs to me. The more I get, then the happier I'll be, something like that. Everybody is competing here in this world, dog eat dog, to get the advantages, the best house, the best money, the best job, everybody's looking. So how not to again become affected by that poison, this is the recommended, that the Grihastha should take very seriously deity worship, and what everything should be offered to the deity. And another advice is given that he should invite people, just like Lakshmi Narayan, he went to his house, so many people are coming, he's inviting people, come in, and take and eat with us, and chant with us. Well, in this way, although Grihastha Ashram, it's not as safe in some ways, if one can remain a simple brahmachari, and just agree to accept the authority of the temple, then the life is simple, it's safer. But even the Grihastha Ashram can be a vehicle for advancing if we take these kind of precautions, to invite people, to support preaching work with our money, to spend money on the deity worship, to keep a nice standard in the house. In this way, one can avoid being carried away by the waves of karma. This is the Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, how this is the disease. He says he gives direction to the diseased men of the world. Everyone is diseased. Why is that disease? Because we're thinking, this is mine. And so, there's a reaction. Even the good work, either so-called happiness or distress, because ultimately it's meant for distress only. This sometimes eludes us, this reality. That ultimately, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, there's nothing to suffer. But in the Grihastha Ashram, we may think, oh, no, now if I do this, then I'll be happy. Then I'll have a nice wife, a nice child, and I can enjoy. So Brahmachari, it's hard for him to get that, because he's always ready to be called. Somebody may say, okay, come here and do this. And so he doesn't settle into an enjoying mood so easily. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta cautioned about this enjoying mood. Trying to give up the enjoying mood. So that's easier in the Brahmachari Ashram than in the Sannyas Ashram. I mean, in the Elizabeth. Even than in the Sannyas Ashram, too. There's more scope for enjoying in the Sannyas Ashram. Therefore, so much no one should be given sannyas. I told a story about some nice brahmacharis who were spoiled by giving them sannyas. And they took sannyas out of them, and they started thinking, I'm independent, I can do it. And then they became one of the Babaji, you know, they just gave up the connection with ISKCON. Or they become fallen. So many sannyasis have fallen down from the ashram. So brahmacharya is safe if one can remain, but it's difficult because there's no independence. All right, any questions?